Christ good, isn't it? All right, if you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Brother Mike read Acts 2, which is kind of a background scripture, but I want to read my primary scriptures this morning. I like to read it. Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Let's start. And I'm reading from the King James Version. Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. By the way, today Brother John asked me to remember we have a very special couple, Dale and Oliver Heath. And today is a very special day in their life. They're married 70 years ago today. Isn't that good? Can anybody beat that? Well, all right, let's give them a hand. They are listening at home, but they are 70 years. How many want to beat that? How many of y'all? A lot of you. That's good. Rick, I would like to beat that myself, me and Celia, but I think I'll long be in heaven by then. But, you know, that only put me about 150, you know. So, all right. I have a little story here, though. I was thinking about it. This is Ethel and Earl. Y'all ever read about Ethel and Earl? It is here. It said, Earl took his wife Ethel to her high school reunion. Any of y'all ever done that? I did that. Went back to Mississippi. Hey, Hal, look at you. Hi, good to have you back. What's that on your arm there? Had a little soldier, that's right. Anyway, Earl took his wife Ethel to her high school reunion. There was a guy on the dance floor just going at it. He was dancing with everyone and was the absolute center of attention. He was breakdancing, moonwalking, shagging. He even did some of that Irish toe-step dancing. Ethel turned to her husband Earl and said, you see that guy? 45 years ago, he proposed to me, and I turned him down. Earl says, looks like to me he's still celebrating. So I don't know. So I hope, I hope today will be a day of celebration for the Heaths, don't we? Amen? They're watching on television. By the way, guess where I got that joke? My mother-in-law. She gets the credit. This morning, if you have your Bible, from Luke chapter 2, we begin reading in verse 41. And the Bible says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they'd fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they thought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Then this is the key verse. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I want to zero in this morning really on two words. Just two words. They are imperative words. If you studied grammar, and I know y'all, we've all done that. These are imperative words, teacher Joe. They were imperative. Two words I want to zero in on this morning. And very important words. They are key words. Verse 49 of Luke 2:49. Where Jesus said, I must be about my father's business. Those are two words. I must. I'm going to give you four times, Mike, these two words are used in the message today. He said, I must be about my Father's business. When Jesus was 12 years old, already the responsibilities and the burdens of ministry, he felt that weighing down on him at 12 years of age. And the Bible says they'd gone to the Passover feast and with Mary and Joseph, and they'd gone, started back home, several days' journey. You know that story. And they find out Jesus is not with them. He's not in the crowd. And they go back and look for him. They find him there in the temple. He is confounding the doctors and the scholars, the learned people of his day. And they just don't know how a little 12-year-old boy can know what he knows. And they are amazed. They are confounded. But Jesus, when they find him, Mary finds him. And by the way, this is, I think, refutes the argument that Jesus was the child of Joseph. Because he said plainly here, Brother Richard, he said, wish ye not that I be about my Father's business. The Heavenly Father's business. Not Joseph, but the Heavenly Father. And that's what he said. Wish ye not that I be about my Father's business. Now I want to talk to you today, and that's kind of what the message is. This child, we need men and women today who are men and women of commitment that are busy about the Father's business. We need it in this day and time. And I want to tell you this morning, if you think that coming to church once or twice a week and maybe saying grace at the table is all that God requires of you, you're wrong about that. I challenged our staff this week, and here's what I said. Brother Mike could tell you. I told him, I said, we are not in the survival mode in this church. We're not in the survival mode. And we're having a committee chair meeting with all my committee chairmen this afternoon as we look toward and plan this year's work, church work. But we're not in the survival mode. We are in the attack mode. I'm a soldier, and we are in the attack mode. And, you know, and I want to tell you that we are all to be busy about the Father's business because we've all been bought with a price. We've all been bought with a price. And therefore, we're to glorify God with our bodies. Let me ask you a question. How concerned are you? How engaged are you in the Father's business? How are you busy about the Father's business? Are you really concerned about it? Probably the greatest thing in my life is not my possessions, my position. Greatest thing in my life, I guarantee you, and every one of you say this, Chuck, you'd say it, greatest thing in your life is sitting right down that pew, isn't it? And right up here, your family. And that's the greatest thing in my life. I have three kids. You heard me talk about them, but it's okay to brag a little bit, isn't it? Two daughters and a son. My baby boy, I got one son. And I prayed for years that God would make him a preacher. And he never felt the call. And that's the worst thing. You ought not try to preach. If God don't call you, don't go. Don't go because mama sent you, because daddy sent you. But you better be a God-called preacher. And I don't think, Craig, many people stay in it if they wasn't called to you. I don't think they would. But I would say this. But I prayed for years that God would call my boy to preach. Growing up, he loved sports. And I figured Tim would always be a coach. He was a quarterback of the team. And in high school, he played point guard. And then he pitched baseball, pitched 4 years in college. And played basketball 3 years. And I always thought Tim would do that. But I prayed that God make a preacher out of him, like his daddy. Better than his daddy. He'd be a lot better than me. But God never called him. But not long ago, he called me and he said, Daddy, they just put me on the board of directors for this special home for Down syndrome people. And he said, they put me on the board. And he said, once every 6 or 8 weeks. And by the way, I know why they put him on the board. Because, see, people who volunteer, you get more out of. You put them on the board, and then they have to give them, or they had to put up a shut-up, don't they? But anyway, put him on the board, and he said once every 6 or 8 weeks, him and his wife and two little girls, they go and live on the weekend. They go as house parents in that special home. He said what we do is give those that work full-time, and we go in and volunteer, and they go, and my little girls. And he said it's so good for the girls to be around those adults, those special people, and love on them. Just love on them. I'm so proud of my boy. Almost as proud as if he is preaching. Almost. But let me tell you something. Tim's not doing that for fame or fortune. You know why he's doing it? You know why he's doing it? Because it's the Father's business. It's the Heavenly Father's business. It's His business. And the Bible says this in Matthew 25, Micah says, Jesus said, you visited the sick, and you went to the jails, and you fed the hungry, and you clothed the naked. And he said, and they said, Lord, when do we do that? And Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me.
Amen.
Brother, listen, we ought to be busy about the Father's business. I love in the New Testament the story of Dorcas. You know who Dorcas was? She was a lady in the Bible. What did she do? She used what? She used a needle. And we find in Mark 2 the story of those four men that had a crippled friend. And they said, heard Jesus in the town, so we need to get our friend. And they got a stretcher, Dorothy, and they took their friend to Jesus. Got him to Jesus. It's all about Father's business. And so Jesus said, as a 12-year-old boy, and I say this, maybe there's a 12-year-old boy here today, a girl, a young one, that already you know God is speaking to you. If you're 12 years old, you're old enough to know, boy or girl. And at 12 years of age, Emily, Jesus said, I wish ye not, I must be about my Father's business. And I tell you, whoever you are, every one of us, if you're a child of God, if He redeemed you, then your business is to be about His business. Mike McCarthy started a business, a wonderful business, a wonderful thing. God's blessed him. And many of you, all of you, I'm looking at business people. I'm looking at a lawyer right up there. We all got, but listen, the Lord's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And so that's the first I must. Here's the second I must. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, if you have your Bible, you can turn to it. John chapter 9 and verse 4. Here's the second time Jesus said, I must. In 9:4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. In other words, he's saying that, Chuck, time is short. Whatever I'm going to do. Jesus, how long did he live? 33 years. How long was his ministry? 3 years. Time was short. Time was short. I buried Linda Paul this week. And many of you heard me say it at the funeral. You heard me say that I visited her on the 15th day of August. And the first time, Dawn, Linda tried to blow that off the first month, 6 weeks. And said, I got a treatable illness. She even told me, said, go back and tell the church. Just tell them I got a treatable illness, Kevin, is what she told me. Said, don't tell them it's cancer. Don't say, I just got a spot on my lungs or got on my liver or something. Just don't tell them a pancreatic. Don't tell all that. And so I came back, and that's what I said. But for a long time, she didn't really want to face her condition. But on the 15th day of August, I visited her house. And you know when the 15th day of August was? That's about 10, 11 days ago. That's before she moved to the nursing home. But she lived about 7, 8 days after she told me that. But she told me, Leanne said, I want you to preach my funeral, Brother Sonny. And as we talked that day, I tried to put a good spin on it. I said, but Linda, you've had a good life. You've had a good life. You're married to a man that loved you and you loved him much. And he's a sheriff of our county for a long time. And you've been a successful school teacher and administrator. And she ran an insurance business for about 10 years. I said, God has blessed you. And she said, but the one thing I would do, the one regret I have, here's what she said, Joy. She said, the one thing that I would do if I had a redo is I would have retired sooner so that I could have volunteered and worked in ministry in our church. That's the one thing, said she'd do. Time is short. She just didn't have enough time, did she? 61 years. She just didn't have enough time. And 3 months ago, she looked as healthy as I do. But time is short. And Jesus said, I must. I must work while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. I have buried dozens. Y'all know that. I have buried dozens of people. Doc Joe, I've been here almost 3 years. 3 years next month. And dozens of people are in heaven today. Didn't have much time. Somebody sitting out there listening to me today. Listen to me. Some of you, a year from now, some of us won't be here. Some of us will be on the other side of the river. We will be. Maybe I'll be there. Maybe I'll go home. And I tell you, a good scripture I used this week was, I love that scripture where Paul said, if the earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens. You know what a tabernacle is? Tabernacle is a tent. And I remember the day in the Persian Gulf when the old first sergeant said to us, he said, tear those tents down. We're going home, boys. Tear those. And one day, God's going to say, tear your tent down. We're going home. I'm taking you home. Jesus said, I must work while it's day, for the night comes when no man can work. James 4:14 says, what is your life anyway? It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. It seems like yesterday, we were up at West Point, don't it? Another one of my West Point. Just yesterday, right, counselor? Just yesterday, we was singing at West Point. By the way, great music this morning, Craig. Great singing choir. Thank you. Thank you, Hilda. And thank you. Thank you so much, Carol. But let me say this. Time is fleeting. And I tell you this about me personally, if you don't know it. I don't waste a lot of time. See, you tell you that. If I'm at home, I'm doing something pretty much. I'm not sitting around. A lot of time reading my Bible or studying even at night, but I don't waste time. You've heard me say this before, and I believe this. We have little enough time and none to waste. I don't have any to waste. Now, that don't mean to say I don't have time for my people, little David. I always have time for people. I got time for you, brother. I got time for one of my ladies pulled me off this morning and said, do you know so-and-so with you? And people, I got time for my people. I don't mean that. But I've got no time to waste. And by the way, somebody said this, people have time for everything. And you know, I remember a time in growing up being McKee that, you know, we growing up, they didn't have school events on Wednesday night, did they? Didn't have them on Sunday. Sporting events, school events. Now, you know, you can't hardly have a church program, anything, for all that's going on in the community. We got our priorities so mixed up, so messed up. But let me just tell you something. And here's what Linda Paul said to me before she left. She said, it's strange how your priorities changed. And you know, Linda's always as neat as you are, just as pretty and always fixed up. Face and hair, ever hair in place, just prim and proper and pretty. But you know, I went to see her that day on the 15th day of August, and there she was, her hair was gone, and she said, look at my body, look at my, I've lost weight. But she said that to me. She said, I wish I'd have retired sooner and I told that at her funeral. She said, I wish I'd done so I could have volunteered and got involved in the ministry of our church. Time is short. Jesus said, I must work the works while it's day, for the night comes when no man can work. Jesus, in the scripture Brother Mike read, in Acts 2, they all got stirred up. Now, you know, let me tell you something. Being a Christian ought to motivate a guy. Amen? Come on, y'all, wake up this morning. You ought to motivate you, man. You ought to have some fire about you. You ought to have some life about you. And in Acts 2, they got stirred up. The people said, they've been drunk. They've been drinking. And they were drunk all right, but they'd seen the risen Lord. They were. And they were fired up. And old Peter preached that day, and he told them, he said, you have taken the Prince of Life. You crucified and nailed him to a tree, and him hath God raised up. And old Peter preached, and the Bible says they were convicted, and the Bible says that 3,000 of them came to Christ that day. 3,000. And then the Bible says they scattered, and the church scattered, and wherever they went, they preached the word. And you know, we ought to do that on Monday morning. We ought to do that. Matter of fact, we ought to do it on Sunday afternoon. Whatever I preach and teach in here on Sunday, you ought to get out and scatter it out during the week. You ought to re-preach this sermon all through the week, through wherever you go. But I want to say this. Jesus said, number one, what was the first time us? Come on, give it to me. Help them, Mindy. That's right. Be about the Father's business. Number two is what? Work while it's day, for the night comes, but no man can work. Then number three, here's the third, I must. He said, I must. And you see this in John's Gospel, chapter number four. The Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. But talking about Jesus. I must needs go through Samaria. Why did he do it? He did it because there's a little woman he met at a well. She had seven husbands. And had lived a wayward life. And Jesus knew that she needed to build the water of life. He was the only one that could give her a drink. He's the only one that could do it. I believe that people in life's pathway, I believe that people probably that only the only rich you can reach. Probably people on a Bev can do, or Sherry. People on a John could touch, or Jim. That people only that people need the water of life, and maybe you're the only one that could do it. But here's the key about that. Jesus said, I must needs go. Why did he go out of his way? Go way out of his way. Because number one, Jesus was willing to go out of his way for people. People were important to Jesus. People are important to you. And I tell you, that's what's important. People are more than just a statistic to him. One of our goals for Sunday school this year, Ben, was to grow by 100. And Greg has, all of us have goals. And we talked about that with the staff this past week. But I tell you, people are important to Jesus. People are important. Let me ask you something. Are you so tied to your schedule and your plan and your program that you don't have time for people? People were important to Jesus. And he said, I must needs go through Samaria. People were important to Jesus. And I want to just tell you something. That's really what's important to me, is people are important. They say this. I read this somewhere about Elvis Presley the other day. They said, Elvis Presley died. Guess how he died? One man said, he died because he was lonely, a man close to him. Died because he was lonely. People are important, and Jesus went out of his way. He had a genuine concern for people. And then the last I must, Jesus said, number one, I must be about the Father's business. Number two, I must work while it's day, for the night comes when no man can work. Number three, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And then the fourth I want to point out to you is in John chapter 3 and verse 30. John 3:30, where it was said of John the Baptist, he must increase, but I must decrease. They said of the great forerunner of Jesus. They said, came to him one day, Jenny, they said, who are you? Who are you? And he said, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. He said, there's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to do what? Untie shoes. And he said, there's one coming after me. And one day Jesus did come, didn't he? And when John saw him, what did he say? He said, I'll give you a clue. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then later on, John said, I'm nothing, but he must increase. I must decrease. I believe the closer you get to Jesus, the more humble, the more like John the Baptist we are. As we walk closer to him, we quit looking at our neighbors and we say, it's me, oh Lord, it's me, standing in the need of prayer. I've got this, I owe this to my mother-in-law too, but I'm going to close with it today. Name of it is Paid in Full. One day a young boy was walking through northern Pennsylvania farm country. He decided he would ask for a meal at the next house. However, he lost his nerve when a lovely young woman opened the door. Instead of a meal, he asked for a drink of water. She thought he was looked hungry, so she brought him a large glass of milk. He drank it slowly and then asked, "How much do I owe you?" "You don't owe me anything," she said. "My mother has taught us that you never accept pay for a kindness." He said, "Then I thank you from my heart." As Howard Kelly left that house, he not only felt stronger physically, but he had faith in God, and man was also strengthened. He had been ready to quit and give up. Years later, that young woman became critically ill. The local doctors were baffled. They finally sent her to the big city where they called in specialists to study her rare disease. Dr. Howard Kelly was called in for the consultation. When he heard the name of the town that she came from, a strange light filled his eyes. Immediately he rose and went down the hall of that hospital to her room. Dressed in his doctor's gown, he went in to see her. He recognized her at once. He went back to the consultation room determined to do his best to save her life. And from that day on, he gave special attention to the case. After a long struggle, the battle was won. Dr. Kelly requested the business office to pass the final bill to him for approval. He looked at it, then he wrote something on the edge, and the bill was sent to her room. She feared to open it, for she was sure it would take the rest of her life to pay the bill, to pay it all. Finally, she looked, and something caught her attention. On the side of the bill, she began to read the following words: "Paid in full with one glass of milk." Amen. This is a story about Dr. Howard Kelly, who was a distinguished physician, who was one of the founding doctors of Johns Hopkins Hospital. Tell you why the story brings tears to my eyes. It saved my life. In that hospital, it cut a cancer out of my body 8 years ago. Another great doctor, his name's Dr. Walsh. He's an eminent, written books on cancer, but to save my life. And goes back, Dorothy, to a glass of milk. Goes back to a glass of milk. Jesus said, "I must be about the Father's business." Now, I don't know what that means for you. You may not do what John Moats does. You may not be able to visit the hospital every day. That may not be your gift. But all of us are gifted in some way. It may just be to pray, Dorothy Locke. I don't know. Maybe that's all you and Hilda can do is to pray. But that's good enough for me, man. That's hard work, by the way. Amen. I don't think there's any harder work than prayer. Amen. Do you? Amen? Amen? Ain't nothing harder than prayer. But everybody here has a gift. Will you be about the Father's business? Not for fame or fortune or somebody write a story or anything, but it's the Father's business. And then number two, will you do it while it's day? Won't you do it while it's day? Because like Linda, she just a few days ago she was here, but today she's on the other side. She can't do that anymore. We can praise God here. We can serve. We can give. We can love. But there's so much we can't do it where, oh, Bud, your friend Bud is over there today on the other side. They in that great cloud of witnesses today. But you can do it today. And then number three is, he said, "I must," needs to go through this. Will you go out of your way for other people? Will you do that? Wherever you live, will you go out of your way for others? And then number four, he must increase. And I must decrease. That's it. That is the message today.